On Sunday, I was talking about the different frequencies in relation to broadcasting. We talked about the AM, the aptitude modulation, and we talked about the FM frequency modulation. But we ended up talking about XM, which was a superior kind of broadcasting that we're familiar with. And XM means extreme modulation. And we talk about it as being radically superior than the common ordinary expressions of communication. And we can parallel that even with our faith, what God would have us to reach towards and to operate from is not just the kind of information that we receive that's normal and natural, information that we can intelligently attain, but there is such a thing that's called revelation that comes from heaven when God will speak to us and receive a message from heaven, or we hear from heaven. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight as we talk about a new song, a new year, this new year that's approaching us in a few days, 2022, but also having a new song, hearing from heaven and understanding the voice of God. Because when God speaks, he speaks in a language that's different from what you may expect. When God says something, you know, our ears are tuned to hearing a particular sound. But when God speaks, oftentimes he speaks in ways that takes us beyond our familiar, because his objective is to reveal to us something that we otherwise would not have been in position to hear before. I always say, and I've practiced this in ministry, is don't say something unless you have something to say. That's something that we need to think about. You know, I've been invited places, and sometimes I would say that I don't have a message for a particular group of people. But when God would place over my heart a message, then I'm confident and comfortable in delivering that, because I know that this is something that God has placed upon my heart to deliver. And most of my preparation is not just studying the scriptures and trying to come up with a message, but it is seeking the heart of God on your behalf. What would God have said at a particular time? Because much can be said, but to have a God-said moment, to be at a place where we're saying what God is saying, that you may and all of us may be doing what God would have us to do, is of utmost importance. When what around you is no longer in you, you see, we look at the environment that's taking place and all the things that's been happening, we are asking the question, what's around us? We have to be very careful that that's not in us, because it will short-circuit our effectiveness in ministry. The enemy's objective is to silence us and silence you because of unconfessed sins. But in this, God's objective is to give you a song. And it's a song of victory. It's a song of triumph, because as we go through the things that we've gone through, I'm talking about even the things that were negative, we go through them, we come out with a song. The scripture says here, in, we read this on Sunday, Psalm 42 and verse 8. Let's go back and revisit that scripture again. It says, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song. And in the night his song. The song of the Lord shall be with me. It is a prayer to the God of my life. It is a prayer to the God who gives me life. The God who has given me life. My song, in fact, is a prayer to the God who provides life to me. It is a life-giving song. It is because we're serving a life, we are life-loving people, and our songs are songs to express the love we have for the gift of life that God has, in fact, given us. The Bible talks about songs, and there's a kind of song, I'll share the scripture in a minute, but there's a kind of song that's called a spiritual song. We talk about a spiritual song, it's talking about a song that is spiritually inspired. When the Holy Spirit will begin to drop something within your heart, and then it comes out in melody, this is called a spiritual song. His word, Jesus began to talk about how his food is to do the will of God, but his word becomes our food. We're feeding on the word of God. You can tell a person that's growing because what happens, he maintains an appetite. But when a person loses his or her appetite, then something has malfunctioned within their lives. So we're talking about spiritual appetite. We're not talking about a person that just wants to eat natural food. But when you're hungry for the things of God, hungering and thirsting for the word, then it is saying that you're growing and there's a desire to progress in the things of God. We talk about this song now. We have to understand what God is doing. He gives us a song of victory, because what happens, we're on one particular place or another in our lives, but then God gives us a song of victory because we move beyond our place. Now, here's what can happen in one's life. You can be at a place where you can kind of dwell on the negatives, negative reflections, because I'm certain there were some things that took place in 2021 that were negatives. They were difficult. They were hard to accept. And in that, when you talk about a song, there's something called the blues. And when the negative have taken place, and I would say a person is frozen in time, they cannot get beyond that phase within their lives, the thing that was negative, the thing that happened, the thing that was in their eyes a setback or a disappointment, a failure. And when you're frozen in time, then you cannot see beyond the moment of the disappointments. Your life is gloomy, have a gloomy perspective. And then the song that you sing, you still sing, but the song that you sing will be the blues, you see. And the difficulty thing about the difficulty of the blues is that when you live in that melodrama state of being, it has the tendency of fashioning you, because you be fashioned by your past experiences. What you went through begins to make you into becoming what you are becoming. In fact, it even shows on your countenance. A person that has bitterness within his heart or had rough life, rough experiences, happens his countenance or countenance begins to give expression to that particular experience. And you don't want those things to make you. You don't want those things to fashion your life so that now you're defined by those things. Because when you get to that place, here's what happens. I even watched, even observing people when they have those big experiences, and oftentimes it's misread because we don't know what kind of lifestyle they've lived or what kind of experiences they might have had. But all we can see is their countenance. And oftentimes, even their behavior and mannerisms. I always give analogies about driving the car, because that's usually where I spend my time, and the Lord is correcting me, and I'm being adjusted and fashioned. But a person that, you say, cut you off, and then discourteous, and all those kinds of things, is really a deeper indication of the fact that there are some other things that's going on in that individual's life. I talked about one time in a message, I talked about a person that would let you into the traffic. You know, the traffic is very, in Atlanta particularly, you could bumper to bumper traffic, and then you put your signal on, you wave at the individual, you say, do you mind if I get in front of you so I can make a right turn? And that person begins to squeeze, have you seen that happen? Begin to squeeze that little gap that was there, which would have afforded you enough room to make the right turn, but they squeeze into the car in front of them because they saw your signal. They saw the fact that you wanted to move over. And then the first thing that could come to mind is that that person is discourteous. That person is, I don't know what's going on. But if you begin to look into that individual's life, you'll come to realize there's a whole story behind that. The bitterness could have been something that happened at home. It could have been something concerning their upbringing. It could have been a bad marriage, a bad relationship, and all those other kind of things. And they're thinking this way. They said, the last time I let somebody in, these were the consequences of allowing them to have some degree of an advantage. And then you begin to say, you say, well, all I want to do is get to where I'm going and make a right turn. But here, this person is reading all of their baggage, all of their history is being read in that one encounter where they're saying that I'm not going to let anybody in again because I refuse to be burned by someone that would take advantage of me. It wasn't your intention to take advantage, but that's how the person that's bitter will read any kind of kindness or expression of kindness that would be shown towards another. So when you look around you and you begin to see people that are bitter and people that whose countenance is as if there's a scowl, a frown upon their face, many times there's a whole story behind that countenance being the way it is. And understand there are many contributing factors to bring that person to their place, and it will take the grace of God to deliver that person from a deep wound that's much deeper than you could observe by just reading their countenance. So with that, as we begin to look at how what God does with us, we look at the reflections, we begin to look back at how things had happened throughout 2021, and here's what God does. He wants to give us a godly perspective of the good, the bad, as well as the ugly. What he does, and this is what we begin to look at it, when we're in the moment, is difficult to see. But then in retrospect, this is what God shows us. He begins to show us where he is in the experience. Where he is in the experience. And he begins to show us where his hand of deliverance was there to bring us through the experience and ultimately bring us out. So understand having a godly perspective. We saw the negative reflections. That's when the person has the blues. But a godly perspective will produce within us a new song. Now there are some that will just repeat the same old song. We're going into 2022. Look at what took place in 2019, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. And when there's no change occurring within one's life, it's pretty much like Moab. When he said, Moab, the bitterness remained within him because he had not been poured from vessel to vessel. His taste was still, the dregs of bitterness remained. But here's what happens. It's his repeat of the same thing. You go through it, you say, well, another year, another day's journey, more of the same, no change occurring in one's life. If anything, as we grow older, as time progresses, we ought to be doing better rather than getting bitter. Because we repeat the same old, like the song says, it's the same old song, but just a different beat. It's only the change of the rhythm of the song, but rather than a new song. Changing the scenery, but yet remaining the same. Some people would move from place to place. They will change relationships. You know, this is all a part of New Year's resolutions. Well, they want to change relationships. They want to change churches. They want to change, get a new house. Let's go to another city. Let's do all these other kinds of things. But understand, if you have not changed, all you do is carry who you are into this new environment, in this new relationship. Whatever you are moving into, the person that you are will always go with you to the new place that you're going. You see, we see this as being habits of the heart. God is, we talk about the extreme, XM, God is wanting to deal with the hearts of individuals to bring about change from within. The scripture says, we talk about songs here, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, he says, this is what he says, and do not be drunk with wine. Let's begin to really look into this. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. Let's stop there for a moment. When it says, do not be drunk with wine, do not be intoxicated by and through the habits of the heart. Are you with me now? Do not be intoxicated by the habits of the heart. Don't allow the thing that you have habitually practiced to bring you to the place where you've lost control. Because that's what happens when a person is drunk. He no longer has control of his own faculties. And understand, if you do not dismiss, if you continue to take in the same information and you're not moving beyond the place that you currently occupy, it's easy to be at a place where you become drunk or intoxicated. And understand, it could be habits. You see, we talk about the habits of the heart. It could be a habit. A person driven to drinking for real, a person into drugs, a person into sexual promiscuity, whatever that thing is that's driving you, it is saying do not allow it to drive you to a place where you lose control. He said, but I understand that I'm out of control and habits are easily formed, but they're hard to break. So what do I do since I have a habit? What do I do to get out of this prison that I'm currently in? He said that the only way to get out, but be filled with the Spirit. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, he is saying in essence that the Spirit will deliver you, rescue you out of your prison. It will bring you out of the dilemma that you're currently in, but it will also replace the thing that's driving you. Whatever it is that's driving you in the direction that you're going, whatever the thing is that's taking control of your life, now it is saying be filled to overflow with the Spirit so that the Spirit can take control of your life, so that the Spirit can dominate your life rather than whatever dominated you in the past. You see, so you say, well, I'm already born again, I'm already a Christian, I already go to church, but be being filled. Be being filled. Understand what we're saying here is that it's not saying that you were filled and that filling that you had was sufficient enough to last you for a lifetime. It is saying on a regular basis, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because what happens, your past experiences will wear out unless you are refreshed by the Spirit of God. And that's what God is saying to many within the church today. They church has become a habit. You see, religion has become a habit. You habitually do religious activities, but there's no life in it. But being filled with the Spirit will keep you fresh. It will keep you alive. It'll keep you alert so that now you're aware of even the trickery of the enemy. Whatever the enemy may have plan for your life, or even the things that he has plotted to overtake you, when you are being filled with the Holy Spirit, God will begin to show you a way of deliverance. He will lead you in the way of deliverance. So be filled with the Spirit. Now we get to the song. You see, be being filled with the Spirit. We got to understand this. This is where many, in other words, asking God to refresh me. Asking God to give me a refreshing of your Spirit. I want what I once had with you, Lord. I desire, Lord, that hunger that I once had, and understand to be being filled with the Holy Spirit is that you can't be filled with a lot of other stuff, because he's not going to compete with the other things that you're filling your life with. It is saying that you have to take time to be filled. You have to renounce many things that's filling up your time, the things that's occupying your time that you're spending time with, but be being filled with the Spirit, he says. And then look what it says, speaking, and the King James says speaking to yourselves, but it really means speaking to one another, speaking among yourselves, speaking to one another. It is saying now that has to do with communication among the saints. Those who are being filled, speaking to others who are being filled. Do you see that? In other words, your conversation among the saints will be refreshing to you. Why? Because as they're seeking a deeper level of understanding Christ and desiring the Holy Spirit to do a deeper work in them, their hunger will be contagious, and you will be refreshed, or your hunger will be challenged, and you say, I want the hunger that this person has. I want the same desire, I want the same passion that my brother or sister has. So that if they're really devoted to God, then I don't want my devotion to come short of their devotion. So now watch what it says. They're speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs. When it talks about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, psalms, look what it talks about, psalms, the twitching of the finger. That's what that word means, on a musical instrument. And it also talks about a sacred song. You're singing a sacred song, but it's with the accompaniment. You are singing a sacred song, but then it says with psalms and hymns. Hymns, the song of praise unto God, because what you're doing, you're singing sacred songs, but and hymns is praise unto God. And then it goes beyond that, and with spiritual songs, songs that are inspired by the Holy Spirit. Because now what happens as you are speaking to one another, as you are being filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will give you a song that will be expressive of this new experience, of this filling that's taking place within your life. As you are being filled with the Spirit, spiritual songs will come forth. As you're being, you could tell, like I said, the habit of the heart is that you go through the motions, and you get caught in a rut, and you do the same thing the same old way, because now your religion has become habitual. And understand this. This is like an old dinosaur. You're just enough to get by, but there's a freshness among those who are being filled with the Spirit, because they understand they have sacred songs, which has to do with songs that's already written, songs that are already have been sung in the past, also songs of praise and adoration to the Lord, but then songs that are inspired and fresh and new at that moment. We mentioned a new song. This is what the spiritual songs are, a new song. Singing to the Lord, new song. We'll talk about the life in the Spirit. We talk about life in the Spirit. We're walking in the Spirit, but we have the life of the Spirit. The Spirit of life is working in us. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, who is working in us. So we are singing. You see, we're praying in the Spirit, but then we also sing in the Spirit. Sing in the Spirit. When we sing in the Spirit, we had a situation in the beginning of the ministry where a young lady was coming to, in fact, this is our first building on Conley Road. And she came in to, we were coming to the church, and a spirit manifested. It was a evil spirit began to manifest, a demonic spirit. And we began to, her parents were already reluctant to have her engage with this cult, they called us at that time. So and now here she is, all out of control and those kind of things. I said, oh, Lord, we know this is going to be trouble here. So we began to pray with her, and she was delivered from that spirit. And we had never seen this before. This is the first time we saw this. When she was delivered, she began to speak in the most beautiful tongues. But not only was she speaking in tongues, she began to sing. Nobody told her to do it. Nobody prompted her to do it. She began to sing in the Spirit. She was singing in tongues. That's the first time I ever seen that before. And it was the most beautiful, melodious sounds were coming out of this young lady. That's why I have to always say that I do believe that God does allow us to speak in tongues today as he did in times of old. And it's not always that which is interpreted in language, but there's a spiritual language that she was praying in. So as she was singing in the spirit, beautiful melodious songs. And it was such a, and what happened as a result of that, we sensed the presence of the Lord just came into the room. Now here's a person, never experienced anything like that before, but God began to move on her this particular way. Well, what it was the unleashing of the Spirit, the unleashing of spiritual gifts. God brings us to the place where we are, there's a freedom of expression. You see, when we get to the place where the Spirit takes control of us, there's this freedom that we would never have experienced otherwise, a freedom of expression. There are things, you see, when I minister to you, when I'm praying before I minister, I love when the Holy Spirit takes full charge, when it's all of Him and none of me. I say, Lord, now I'm like a spectator sitting on the sidelines, allowing the Lord to speak and to say and to do whatever He desired to say and do. But that's what we talk about. So the same thing, when we are caught up in the Spirit and the Spirit takes charge and the song of the Lord goes forth. Understand this. It will go forth. It will be edifying to all because God then at that moment is expressing what He desired to express. At the very moment, at the very hour, that song is appropriate for whatever mood may be taking place at that particular moment. And the Holy Spirit is there to confirm and to affirm us, confirm His presence, the fact that we are His, and to affirm us. So now, I love this scripture here out of Psalm 145 because it talks about how this thing becomes widespread. This is what we have to understand, what God is wanting to do with us and how God wants to use us. It says, one generation shall praise your works to another. Stop there for a moment. One generation shall praise your works to another. We mentioned praying to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Now it says, it talks about generational transfer. It says, one generation shall praise your works. It is saying what God did in us, like I just told you, the beginning of ministry. I was telling my son Maurice the other day, I was talking about our grandfather, and I was telling him stories that I knew of my grandfather, who was a pastor. And I just recently shared a message with you about my dad. But understand, these are things that I pass on from generation to generation because I want you to see where God is or where God was in those particular experiences so that you understand where I am and what made me who I am, you see, because it didn't just start with me, but there were many others who contributed to my life for me to become who I am today. So now it says, one generation shall praise, and that's what we want. This generation, one generation shall praise your works, but we praise your works to another. We praise your works to another. We're telling our children and our children's children of the mighty works of God. He says, and what happens, and they shall declare your mighty acts. Listen to what he's, oh, listen to this. One generation will declare your works, and then they shall, and shall declare your mighty acts, and shall declare. Talk about where God did, what God did. All the great, great things that God did within our lives, how God moved. So we see it historically. I'll talk about that after a while. But how God moved in the life of Moses and how God moved in those who preceded him. But he says, so now one generation will declare, will talk about your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. And then it says, so now after it's declared, I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty. He said, and on your wondrous works, because what God did, he can do. What God accomplished, he can accomplish now. That's why I said, you don't have to stay in the blues, because the same God that did great things is still able to do great things now. He says, so now you're meditating upon the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. And then when you do this, this is all our testimony that we're passing down from generation to generation. He said, and men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts. And then he makes it personal. He says, and I will declare your greatness. Now we talk about men, we begin to look at the broad. This is what you did generationally. This is what's happened from generation to generation. He says, these are the things we meditate upon. And now we begin to see men shall speak. Now we have gotten to a place where what God did, it becomes expanded among many, because everybody's talking about, remember when Pastor Walker talked about what God did, remember this person testified, that person testified about what God did in their lives, and even the current miracles. Let me help you understand this. That's an invocation for the presence of God to come among us even now. If you don't talk about what God did, you can't expect God to do any more than he did, because in your minds, it's all passé, it's past. It's in the past. But here, we begin to speak of his marvelous acts. And he says, I meditate on the splendor of your majesty and your wondrous works. Men shall speak of your awesome acts. Then I will declare your greatness. I say, my God is great. Now understand this, even before the situation has changed, I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. Look at the song now. They will sing, say, our God is a righteous God. Now there's some meaning behind it now. There's something to back up that song that you're singing. It's not just it's time to sing. No, I have a reason to sing. So now praise becomes an invocation. It's inviting him, inviting the Lord in, and you're invoking his presence to manifest in your life and in the community of faith. Because if you get this now, we're talking about a church now, invoking the presence of the Lord. You say, what is God doing today? What are you doing? Where is God today? Where are you? You see, the questions we have of God are questions we ought to ask concerning ourselves. Where are you? Look like nothing is happening. What's happening in your life? See, every question comes back. It boomerangs back to the individual. And it says, so here, there's something that we can do if we begin to look at what God. Now, I would venture to say, if God was never among us, if God did not initiate this ministry, if God had not called us to do the things that we are, that he desires for us to do, then there's a reason not to be a part of ministry. But if there was a time where God moved mightily among us, and understand this, the God that was among us is still among us, but he's waiting on you. He's waiting on me. He's waiting on us to step up to the plate and to begin to take hold, you see, grab the mantle that has been left us to move things forward. So now we talk about Miriam. Look at in Exodus chapter 15. This is a song of Miriam. She was a prophetess. Then Miriam, this is verse 20, Exodus 15, 20. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and dances. And Miriam answered them. Now listen to this. Look at the word. She answered them. They went after her. They went out after her. So they were following her, and she answered them. Don't miss that now. They went after her, and she responded to their pursuit. They were going where Miriam was going. They were following after her. In other words, they had joined in and became a part of her testimony and her mission. They bought into her song. They bought into her song. That's an honor. When others are singing your song, when others begin to go after your song, you see, when they buy into your experience and they then begin, they become one with your experience. That's a mighty thing. But understand this, because we become one with Christ's experience. So, and Miriam answered them, and here's what she said, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Sing to the Lord. She understood the source of victory. She said, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider has been thrown into the sea. So when she began to sing the song of Miriam, she was reflecting on the victory when they were crossing over the Red Sea. She said, now here she was. They were caught between a rock and a hard place. The soldiers behind them and the Red Sea before them. There was the natural Red Sea before them, but then we saw the men behind them. And it appeared as if there was nowhere to turn and nothing that they could do other than to face either be defeated by the armies or defeated by the Red Sea and drown in the sea. But the Lord intervened and he did something. He dried up the Red Sea. And not only did he dried it to the place of mud. No, he dried it to the place of being dry. So they walked across the Red Sea on dry land. You got to hear this now. Not in mud, not in slop, in mud, but on dry land, as if the Red Sea never existed. That's how potent this is. He says, so now he has triumphed gloriously. But then when the horse and the riders of the Egyptian soldiers came after them, understand, the sea returned and they were drowned in the sea. So she said, that's a reason for me to sing. I will sing unto the Lord because my God is great, that we said early on. I'm declaring your greatness, O God, in the memory of your goodness. I shall sing of your righteousness because he judged Egypt and the Egyptian soldiers by drowning them, but he also showed mercy and grace to the children of Israel. So now, that was a song of Miriam. But then there was a song of Moses also. The song of Moses was before the song of Miriam. Miriam picked up Moses' song. Because in the first verse of the 15th chapter, Moses said something. He said, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. Now, wait a minute. Who said it first? Moses said it first, but Miriam picked it up. She picked up Moses' song. So now it's not one person singing, but now we have Moses and the people following Moses singing, and Miriam and the people following Miriam singing the same song. But here's what Moses said. The horse and the rider thrown into the sea. But Moses said, the Lord is my strength, and the Lord is my song. The Lord is my strength and my song. That's what he was saying. He said, so now what he's saying, my strength, I couldn't do anything about the soldiers. I could do nothing about the Red Sea. But the Lord is my strength, and the Lord is my song. And now the Lord has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. But not only is he my God, go back into history, all the way Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the sons, he said, he's my father's God. But now my opportunity has come that I will exalt him. Now that I stand. So now what he is doing, he is taking what he had received from generation to generation. We mentioned one generation it will speak of it. Another generation will pick it up from generation to generation to generation. I would venture to say you better take advantage of what God is giving us as a generation. And the generation coming after us, you take heed how you handle what God is passing down to you when it goes from one generation to another generation. And now, look at what God has given This is the last part of 2021. So I got to help you to understand this. He gives us a new song. In fact, we talk about the new song. Psalm 96 and verse 1 says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all ye earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name." Now, you heard the messages early on this year. Proclaim the good news. Proclaim the goodness of God, the good news of his salvation. Proclaim it. He said, "From day to day, declare his glory among all the nations." Declare it. All the nations, his wonders among all the people. Why? For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared among all the gods. Look at his respect. For all the gods of this people are idols. It just got proven, right? He said, "But the Lord made the heavens." This is our God now. He made the heavens. "Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary." So that's the God that we serve. So what are you doing now? You begin to compare your God to all that is called gods. And we talk about whatever's occupying the time and the attention of others. We put our God comes to the stage and he begins to show his strength among all the other gods. Now I got a few other Psalms I want to read here. But you go down to the 98th division of Psalm. He says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things." Marvelous things. I like this word, marvelous. Overwhelming, just splendor. Things that are beyond description. Our God has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm has gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness. He has revealed in the sight of the nations. He's going to do that even now in the sight of all the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Now, the nations are in flux right now. This is a time where I would say the nations are being, we see the pandemic, but also you got to watch what's happening with nations too. Nations rising against nations. Look at what's happening with science. Look at what's happening with the planetary shifts that's taking place. There's a lot going on. Look, we having records are being broken when it comes to the weather patterns that we're experiencing right now. In the midst of all the firsts, I mentioned this some years ago, the first time this ever happened, the first time that's ever happened. All of these things that are happening, occurring at this moment, at this time, understand, it's not coincidental, but God is up to something. And if there's ever a time that our attention need to be on him, it's now. So he is a righteous God. God is judging sin. God is judging the unrighteousness. He's looking at what has happened to the earth. He's looking what's happening within the lives of individuals, the decisions that people are making against him and finding justification because they see themselves as being gods unto themselves. So all of this is going on in our day. But his righteousness he has revealed in the sight of nations. Somewhere down the line, we're going to see God's righteousness revealed. He's going to show. You won't have to argue about who's right and who's wrong, what's right and what's wrong. God will prove who is right and who is wrong and what is right, what's wrong. Who is authentic. Who has the right to preach the message and who doesn't have the authority to speak in his name or in on his behalf. All of this is yet to be proven because he will judge it all. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen salvation of our God. So now what do we do? With all this in mind, we shout joyfully to the Lord. All the earth break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. Sing unto the Lord with harps, with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets, the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers, look at nature now, let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. Why? For he is coming. Now that you need to look at, for he is coming, he is coming. The Lord is coming. In other words, it's fear and dread to those who are outside of his will, to those outside of covenant. It is with fear and dread. I guess some would wonder, why aren't you afraid of the pandemic? Why aren't you not afraid of these things that could very well happen? It's not, you see, because my confidence is in God. My confidence in God. I'm not going to be careless and foolish just to go out and expose myself to things that I ought not do. That's just foolishness. But at the same time, I cannot allow fear to grip my heart. As we draw closer to the coming of the Lord, if anything, I'm excited in the midst of all of this that's going on around us. There's an excitement that's taking place within. And I believe that there's a sharpening of his word. I believe God is bringing a word that's very precise to us so that it cuts through all of the residue, all of the, I would say, the psychobabble that people are engaged in when they speak of him. So the world now, the seas or rivers clap their hands, the hills joyful together before the Lord, for he's coming to judge the earth with righteousness. He shall judge the world and the people with equity. So the objective, God's gonna straighten this mess out. I know people don't wanna hear, they think that's very negative, but God's gonna straighten this junk out because he's God. And he would not allow man to destroy his creation. Let me give you a couple of other scriptures. I got a few minutes here. Psalm 40. I waited patiently on the Lord, for the Lord. And here's what he did. He inclined my ear. He got me to a place where now I'm paying attention to what he's saying. You see that? I waited. Now, this is a saint. How long have I waited for the Lord to speak? How long have I waited for the Lord to say what he will to say? Because people are saying a whole lot. I said, don't say anything unless you have something to say. How long have we waited for God to speak? How long? You see, that's the thing. Lord, because it's difficult to prove, it's not proving yourself, but to prove the fact that you're with him and that you represent him, and that you're one with him. People, for the most part, will dismiss that. And they'll say that, you're just the attitude towards the things of God, that everything about people is just common. You're just like me. You're just like the rest of us. But understand, God, in this day and hour, is raising up individuals. He's raising up people. He's raising up people groups that's listening to him, that's authentic, that's speaking prophetically to this generation. Did you realize this? That the voice of God is still present in our midst, but yet it has to, his voice has to cut through all of the clutter that has stood in the way of people hearing what God has in fact to say to us. He says, but here's the psalmist, I waited patiently for all of these things to run its course. And I'm waiting on the voice of the Lord to speak. But he inclined me. In other words, he inclined my ear so that I would be sensitive enough to recognize his voice when he spoke. He heard my cry. And here's what the Lord did. He delivered me just like he did. We talk about Moses before the Red Sea and soldiers by him. He delivered, he brought me out of a horrible pit. In the Hebrew, they call it a pit, just like they talk about the depth of the pit. My pastor in St. Louis, now with the Lord, Bishop Johnson, talked about the pit. He said, whenever the Lord says something twice, he's talking about the depth of it. It is deeper than just a pit. It is the pit. He took me, brought me out of the pit, out of the miry clay. That miry clay. Now you understand, it's to be in the pit, and now I'm in miry clay. But then he brought me up out of the pit, out of the miry clay. And then he set my feet upon a solid rock. Oh, you got to meditate upon this. This is the work of God. He set my feet upon that which was stable. I was stabilized even though I was once in the pit. That's my life now. When I was out there, I said, well, Lord, I don't see any way out of this situation. Man, the habits of my heart and the things that I was engaged in have become so much a part of me that I never would. I said, well, I thought God wanted to use me, but apparently I missed it. And not knowing that the call that was on my life at age 9 and 11 when I preached my first sermon, God hadn't forgotten me. He let sin run its course. I went through some things, but then God delivered me from the horrible pit. If I had died, I would have gone straight to hell. But he brought me out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on the rock and established my steps. Not only did he set me on the rock, the Lord began to give me direction. Yeah, I hope this is good for you. So he'll give you direction. Establish your steps so that you're not stumbling and bumbling around. You're not living a private life. And understand this. Secret sins are no longer part of you, but he delivered you from the secret sins. I would say some of those things, God closed the door when I was too foolish to walk away from it. And then but after it's all over, when it's all said and done, when I think about what God saved me from, here's what God did. He put a new song in my mouth. That song has depth now. That song has meaning. That song has significance. He put a new song in my mouth. Praise to God. Praise unto God. And understand, when it comes with that degree of, I would say, the experience and that expression being genuine within you, he says, many will see it in fear. It will bring conviction among those who will hear you and will trust in the Lord. And that's what we need today. The awe of God has been lost within this generation. But when the fear of the Lord returns, when a man or woman walks in the fear of the Lord, and there's a sense of awe as a result, and when I talk about a message that will convict their hearts and their lives to bring that individual place where they have to reckon with their own lives and desire what God has to offer, then the work is taken. The word is doing its job. He says, many will see it in fear. And he says, and they will trust in the Lord. The last scripture, we go all the way to the last book of the Bible. And that's the book of Revelations. Revelations chapter 9, chapter 5 rather, and verse 9. And this is at the end. And they sang a new song, saying, you, Lord, are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people group and nation. You have taken us out from among every people group, tribe, tongue, people, and nation. And then you lifted us up and made us kings and priests to our God. See, kings and priests unto our God. And we shall reign where? On the earth. That's what the Lord has done. He said, then John the Revelator said, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the numbers of them was 10,000 times 10,000. But that wasn't all. And thousands of thousands saying with a loud voice. Now, we just told you early on, this is what he said. I looked and I heard the voice of many angels saying, He said, when I first, he said, they sang a song saying, this is the 24 elders. But now look, and now I see all of this crowd, numbers, tens of thousands, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. Same song now, same song. But now, like we talk about the song of Moses, the song of Miriam, now you're looking at all of these, and we're going to be in that crowd. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard. Now understand, now to see. We saw heaven, now we see earth, now we see sea creatures, everything singing the same song. Blessing and honor, glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever. That ain't good enough. And ever. Then the four living creatures, when they were saying, they said, amen, so be it. That's it. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lived forever and ever. So with all of this going on, and it's all sealed with an amen, and the four living creatures, the 24 elders, the four living creatures, everyone that's falling down to worship him. And when that song is being sung, they close it out with, amen. As he ordered it to be, so it will be. So we praise God at the end of 2021 that this picture that we see in Revelations will one day be a picture that we all can partake in. We'll be a part of that crowd that will begin to say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what people are looking after in this life, but falling short of: power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, and glory, and blessing. Because the only one that deserves all of this is the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. So, Father, thank you so much for helping us to see this. What a beautiful place to end here in Revelations as we come to the end of this year. And we do say, oh God, that you have brought us safely thus far. It is your hand that has delivered us, taking us through all the dangers that are around us, as the old people say, dangers seen and unseen. You protected us from more than we see, and you're yet protecting us. So if anything, Lord, our confidence is in you to lead us, guard us, and guide us the whole way. And Lord, our sights are not just set upon the things of this earth, but our citizenship is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for giving us heavenly perspective, a godly perspective and a heavenly perspective, so that we're looking up and reaching out, but looking up and trusting you to provide for us all that we need. So we pray for those that are full of fear, Lord. Put their hearts and minds at ease. Help them to know, Lord, that all of this is temporary. We don't know how close we are to your return, the return of your Son. It could happen any day and any hour. And it could be a people hiding at that particular time because of their hearts fainting as a result of fear. But Lord, we fearlessly enter in, and we fearlessly approach your throne, because you have stretched out to us the scepter of righteousness, And that's the thing that matters the most, is that because of what Jesus Christ has done, we have been granted righteousness by faith. So bless your people now. Lord, we just pray that more will come into the kingdom before it's too late. That even as we're coming to the end of this year, there are many that's coming to the end of their lives. Because tomorrow's not promised, but we must take full advantage of every opportunity afforded us. And Lord, I just pray that they'll come into the kingdom, come to you before it's too late, before the door is closed. So we give you praise, Lord, because you're speaking these things out of your mercy, out of your kindness towards us. But it's ours to receive all that you have offered. So we give you the honor, praise, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.